on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Kia ora and g'day rugby league fans, this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show and I've got to admit I'm speechless. We have an absolutely rammed studio, the dream team is here in full effect. Leo Price is in the house.
Evening all.
Aaron Bauer's in the house.
Evening everyone.
Luke Robinson's in the house.
Good evening Robert.
No, I'll say it again, Luke Robinson's in the house.
Thanks boys, thank you very much.
We thought it was just a myth. Jackie's across social media, Ewan's across the decks as well. And we've also got Oliver, who's a Leeds United supporter, so we're not going to bring him in. But he's on work experience here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. I'm speechless. Let's get it on. Let's just get it on.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
So just a quick one. We're going to give away a family pass up at the Bradford Bulls this weekend. They're playing Hull KR, so a massive game. Be really busy. Thousands of Hull KR supporters coming across. Thousands of Bradford Bulls fans coming across. So it should be a top game. New recruits in at the Bulls also, so get up there. So all you have to do is leave your details at pulse1.co.uk and we'll pick someone at random on Friday afternoon, as always. Robbo, where you been, man?
I'm a very, very busy man at the forum.
You are, aren't you? You should see the level of excuses I've been getting off, Robbo.
I'm either doing under-14s.
Your testimonial's over now.
I know, and I'm even busy. Embed the pathway, or I'm going to RFL to do my coaching badges under Baloo. I can't get away from Baloo, to be fair. He's the one taking the...
Does he keep failing you? Nah, you've done that. You looked at me wrong. Fail F.
So, no, I've just been a very busy man lately, Rob, unfortunately.
Very, very busy indeed. And obviously, you've lost your mobile phone. We were just talking about that. Yeah. Who today lives without a mobile phone? How can they function? You get into trouble from your bosses. Doesn't your missus give you a crack as well?
It's been a bit of a nightmare, to be fair. But do you know what? I've actually liked just switching off from the world a little
bit.
That's
what I was going to ask that question.
It's kind of nice.
Well, I was away in Belgium. I think we were talking about it. I had those first world problems where I think I dropped my phone in the toilet. I think I had a few too many bevvies. And as you know, in Belgium, beers start at like 7, 8, 9, 10%. That's when they start and they go north of that. It's like rocket fuel. I think I've dropped my phone in the toilet. I've fished it out, but it stayed wet all day, right off. But I didn't have a phone for the whole weekend and I felt like I was missing a lift. I actually got depressed about it.
Do you know what they say, Robbie? The only reason you break your phone is because you've got something to hide. So what's going on there?
By that rationale, though, I was back on the phone as soon as I got back into this country. What's your excuse? You've been off the reservation for two weeks now.
To be fair.
And you know what it is, ladies and gentlemen? What you don't know and what he said off air is because it's a pig-headed man thing. The insurance company that he's applied for a thing need to send him his phone, and he's not going to accept the phone until they send it to him.
They've sent him back twice, and it still don't work. I'm not paying £10 a month for nothing.
What sort of phone is it?
To be fair, it's one of those old school Nokia ones, isn't it? To be fair, it's very easy, though, because my 19's at the moment and not turning up for training, all sorts. And they just said, oh, I text you, Robbo. I had a funeral, or I had this on, or I had that, and I'm thinking... They've cottoned on pretty quick with these lads. It's about me and three lads there for training.
Torture.
So what's that like as a coach, only having that many people turning up?
Yeah.
Does it break your heart a little bit? Do you take it personally?
It takes me back to my Siddle days. Sometimes when you coach amateur clubs, teams, I'd set a session plan out for 20, 40 would turn up. So next week I'd do a massive big session plan and three would turn up. And you just never know what you're going to get. It depends whether the coronation, I've got something good on that week. That's what you find.
Yeah.
If there's good stuff on TV, you don't get anyone there because everyone works late.
Okay. Leon.
Evening.
Retirement. I mean, we had a bit of a dig at Robbo when he was, the longest retirement in history last year was Willie Woney. Yeah. But he's retired now. Yourself, 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks ago?
No, longer than that.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
I mean, it's like yesterday, isn't it? Yeah. Just, how are you finding it?
I won't lie, it's been tough, really, really tough. And I think probably this last week or so, I've only got my head around around what how I feel about it all, about everything, about not playing anymore, knowing that my body can't do it, and just moving on inside my brain more than anything else.
So, like 6 weeks to sort of get your head around.
Yeah.
The routine. I think we've talked about it on the show before. You know, we get so institutionalized.
Yeah.
We used to being told where to be, what to wear, when to wear it. And you kind of control your own life around it also. Got to watch what you eat. Although probably of all the players I know in the world, I don't know of any other player that eat as many crisps as you did.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I was lucky though, because I was still really good. I'm joking.
It's all in the book.
The biggest problem I've found for me is, like, I'm a really bad communicator. So any problems, anything like to do with games, criticism, when you're playing good, when you're playing bad, like, you can put an image on in front of everybody, but you can't fool yourself. Mm-hmm. So, like, in most games, I enjoy the good things that I've done, but in my brain, I think about the bad things. And it's the same way in life, and I find it really hard to take criticism, and find it equally as hard to accept plaudits sometimes, because that's how I manage not getting up and down on emotions, and that's my front of bottom. But, like, emotionally wise, you know, getting booed by your own, you know, I'm not saying all your fans, but a few fans, in your last game of rugby, when that's all you've done for 20 years by your people that you class as your own fans, it has, like, quite a bad psychological effect, because somebody like me, you pretend everything's okay, you don't talk to anybody, you know, you feel a bit embarrassed, or I felt really embarrassed. I felt embarrassed for my wife and my mum who were in stands, and then you go home and you wallow in self-pity, and you go over things in your mind over and over and over again, and, you know, you're thinking about where your money's going to come from, what do I want to do that I'm passionate about, I can't run anymore, you know, there's things that go on in your own brain, and you know, and Rob all know, and rugby players know, we don't show weakness, we just keep everything in there. And, you know, I had a little bit of a dark time. I've got, no shame saying it.
Now, layers, that's what we're talking about. When the culture in which we live in, I mean, it's a little bit different for me and Robbo. See, Leon, you're always really, really good, but me and Robbo were rubbish at certain times throughout our career. So we got used to our own fans booing us.
Especially at Salford.
Well, my dad taught me a really, well, one of the best lessons he taught to me. He said, you know, listen, if they're booing you in a game, it's usually because you're good, or you're dangerous, or you're a threat to them. Mm-hmm. So when they boo, take it as a compliment. So it's not nice being booed, no matter what anybody says, it's horrible. But I learnt my way of processing, and that was, you're a danger, Leon, that means you're good. And when fans stopped booing me, I started worrying, because I was thinking, I'm not really a danger anymore, or I'm not doing something dirty, which were the other reason. So, and it, so
there were two
so,
reasons, Leon.
You know, so I've learned how to deal with boos, but not from your own fans.
Not from, yeah, that can. I remember coming off the field, and one of the fans, this was back in the Bradford Bulls heyday. I think it was 1998 or
97. We had about 8-8 in a bad season, didn't we?
And we're coming off the field, and obviously I'm leading. I've got Jimmy Lowe's behind me. And this one fan is right into my face, and he's just giving me a world of grief. I had to pull Jimmy back. I had to pull Jimmy
That's
off.
That's why he's a legend.
Off.
That's why he's a legend. Set.
We've just been singing Jimmy's plaudits before this. So he is a different creature, is Jimmy.
When he was the assistant at Salford, we were getting hammered at Catalans, and he actually started crawling over the fence to get to the fans.
They were singing,
so you know how diehard Salford, they were singing, "Die, die, Coley, Coley, die." You're about kidding. Their own team, their own player. Next minute, Jimmy at half-time, they're giving Carl Harrison loads of abuse. Next minute, I just saw Jimmy crawling over, you know, the big metal fence he used to have. And to keep the fans out, they had to keep Jimmy out, or Jimmy from getting at him. Jimmy just crawling up, I'm thinking, oh my God.
The worst bit for me is when I were getting booed, I were a substitution before half time. So when I had to go, I had to come, like, from the left side of the field before a kickoff, like we're kicking off time because I just scored. I just missed a tackle. And I had to run.
So you deserved the boo, you mean?
Well, a little bit. Well, no, not all, really. So I ran. And as I'm running, it, like, you could hear a pin drop, and I could just always, "Boo, get off, Leon, get off." And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is the most embarrassing time of my life. But I wasn't really thinking about me. I was thinking, my mum and my missus are in stands, and they're a bit away this. And then, like, I'm sat in dugout, and I'm thinking, how am I going to, like, get into the change room without anybody seeing me? Then I've got to sit back here. And then, like, sat there, and I think, my career's over, it's done. I mean, something you've done since you were seven, it's your only passion. It's the thing that you've excelled at the most, and you've put your life and your soul into it. And then you come back to your hometown club, and you know, playing with injections every week, and you're just trying to hold it together. You know, I know I'm not wasn't the player that I've been. I was never going to hit them straps, but I wanted to do one more year and try and get the boys through it and try and get myself a year. Mm-hmm. And then it just comes crashing in.
Into context, as you also didn't get a preseason as well, because obviously everything was going on.
Really bad
so
pre-season.
Physically, you weren't able to sort of sharpen the knife.
I'm making no excuses. I don't make any excuses. I don't like to make excuses. I could have been in better shape, but there's things that didn't go right. But at the end of the day, my heart's in the right place, that's all that matters.
It does. That's all that matters. And you give it a good dig. All right. Okay. So when we come back, we're going to start talking about all the sport's hottest topics. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup. Whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We're giving away a family pass to the Bradford Bulls home match against Hull KR. Big game this weekend. Very close game during the Summer Bash, if you can remember, I think about 6 weeks ago. So if you want to get in a chance to win that family pass, just contact us at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show. Leave your details and we'll pick someone at random on Friday afternoon. Leon, we just broke off there. We're just talking about your retirement. I just want to come back onto it before we get away and start talking about the sport's hottest topics and start looking at where the leagues all stand at this point in time. We were just briefly having that conversation about when you knew it was time to hang up the boots and how different it is for different athletes. You know, you had sort of psychologically prepared yourself to come back and finish your career on your terms in 2017 with your hometown club, the club that you grew up on the terraces watching. You're a ball boy here. You love the club, has always run through your veins. I mean, when that moment came and you're running off the field and you heard those comments and you felt for your family, did you clearly know right there and then that's it? You're done.
Yeah, I'm done. 100% done, yeah.
And what sort of emotions were going, as you're sitting on the sideline there, what sort of emotions were going through you at that point?
I was just sat there and I was thinking, right, that's me done. I didn't see that my last ever game of rugby league would be in that fashion. I was hoping it'd be either in a grand final or, when you're back in your dream and you're thinking how you're going to go out, you dream of going out like Sinfield and Peacock and, you know, on the highest level. And that's the way it's worked out. So when I was sat in the thing, I was just thinking, Jesus, what a way to finish.
Yeah, was it almost surreal?
Yeah, what a way to finish. Like, this is my last game of rugby ever. So I've been playing since I was seven and I'm finishing like this. Oh, well, that's me. That's the way I do things.
And I think that, doesn't that also layer a level of pressure or disappointment? You know, we're talking
massive,
about the layers.
Massive disappointment. Yeah, huge disappointment in myself, you know. And I think there's no other critic worse than yourself. No matter what anybody else says.
To be as elite as the guys in this room who played it.
And that's been half my problem. I've just spied myself up inside my head for too long. And I've been doing it for a long time now. And until is, you know, we get rid of that stigma, and I think, which we are doing with the game, within the game, mental health, it's okay to talk, and talking to people and what have you, it's made it a lot easier for me. So that's been quite good.
You know, that's an interesting point, because obviously the culture in which the environment that you're playing in sort of is really hyper-masculine, and there could be an argument to say actually, communicating openly like that between one another may not be the best thing to keep the sword sharpened. But I think what we're talking about here is actually having some type of means and vehicle to be able to express yourself and put things down.
Do you know what? I'm finding it really, really difficult as a coach at the moment. I'm trying to create warriors that pretty much say what Leon Shard said. Mm. You hide your emotions. You don't talk when you're hurt. You don't say that there's something wrong with you on the field. But yet then we're also trying to make sure that there's an outlet.
Safety net,
there's an outlet, and basically you can go and speak, and it's a really fine juggling act that I'm trying to get amongst. I'm trying to create, I think, like some of my lads, without me being disrespectful to them as 19s, we spoke about this, some of us are a little bit too mollycoddled, I think, a little bit too soft.
But that's society, Robbo.
Yeah, I know.
I speak to Radders about this, and I said, listen, Radders, if we've been rubbish in the game, get us in the video room and blast us.
Yeah.
I said, well, there's no hiding place in the video. If we need Amrin, said, Leon, I tried it at the start. It's a new generation.
Yeah,
they will not have it. They get upset. They can't play. They complain to the chairman. He said, I've had to rein it all in compared to what we got, but this is a new generation.
The fact that this week...
We used to get an absolute spray.
Oh, God. Jimmy Lowe's offered to send me outside for a fight and stuff, do you know?
That's why he's a legend.
I've seen Daniel Anderson absolutely destroy people's souls.
Brian Smith, Matthew Elliott. I've seen Matthew Elliott destroy himself a few times. Some of the things that he said didn't make sense. Brian Noble, even Nobby's had a dig, hasn't he?
Yeah, but Nobby's not tough though, so he's not scary, is he?
But you know what I mean? It is hard because you find the balancing act between creating a warrior that can hide and not show the opposition that he's tired and that he's hurt, but also letting them know that, you know what, off the field, so, you can actually talk and you can express how you feel. And it's
that expression of how they feel, it will not be accepted within the group itself. Now, I'm no psychologist, and I don't profess to be one, and I don't even profess this to have the answer to what we're talking about here. But the hyper-masculinity of the job itself, you know, the warrior attitude that having to, because we were discussing this in respect to Jamie Acton and what happened on the weekend with Lee Centurions, where he picks up Greg Bird, realizes he's knocked out, and then sort of doesn't gently put him back to the ground, but basically, go.
Yeah.
It's kind of like just throws it, let's go. And there's been a massive amount of social media conversation going on about this to say, is it right, it's wrong, disgusting behavior.
Snowball, doesn't it?
It has. It's really snowballed into something. But you guys know as well as I do, that the mindset that you're in when you're playing as an athlete is really unique. It's not, you're not rational. You're not normal. I was, Ewan's looking at me because I try to explain it off air. What is the closest way I can explain it.
Don't explain it that way.
I can't. It's not appropriate.
Let me explain it for you. Right. Basically, when you're playing rugby, especially when you're younger, you've got to have the mindset that's a little bit different to play rugby. You've got to enjoy pain. You've got to get through pain barrier. When I was younger, I was crazy. I would have been acting, picking that guy up and dropping him on his head. I've done crazy stuff. I've nearly took Jamie Lyon's head clean off. I've smacked Kevin Sinfield, blindsided him.
Oh, don't forget Burgess.
And Burgess, I've pulled his testicles and nearly took him home with me. But when I sit back and look at them videos, I am ashamed of myself. Like, I think, Leon,
that's a different person. Right. Don't you think that to yourself?
Leon, what are you doing? That is so stupid and so bad. And then when I got older and I started playing recently, I become this like a tackle player. Are you doing? You all right? And I lost it completely. I want the same person, and it was like a different person. It's like look at Morley. Morley, when we were younger, a wrecking ball, killed people, got an RL, knocking people clean out. When he come back to Super League and he got a little bit older and wiser, he just. He was chilled, wasn't he? Moswin mellow, wasn't he? And that what Moswin in his younger days. I think the animal that you are when you're younger is completely different.
Yeah, but I agree with that.
But on the rugby field, but also,
in the games, you don't have those animalistic, primeval sort of instincts that as you get older, but you're still not normal. It's still you got to take yourself to another sphere, another place. And I think when we're talking about creating warriors, that's the type of thing that we're talking about. I know when I'd go into games, so half an hour before warm-up, headphones would come on, and I'd start my psychological process of putting myself into that position where my body has to and my mind has to accept pain. Rugby hurts, whether you're running your body lactic, your lungs burning, whether it's the impact. You have to get yourself into a psychological state to actually prepare for that, which I would do half an hour before warm-up. So I'd listen to music, go into a very hyper-focused state. And I was able to do that better and better as I got older and older. That stuff would start at 9 o'clock in the morning on game day when I was 19. It only had to start half an hour before warm-up.
Yeah, me too.
But it's still, I was in a different state of mind. And what we're talking about is how do we create that sphere where the players are comfortable to be in that state of mind when they're in training or when they're on the field of play, but equally be able to come out of that and have a vehicle and a medium.
But don't you think it's the problem? The problem is we talk about the game evolving, we talk about health issues. We're instructed about if somebody gets knocked out, you don't touch them because of the neck injury. Yeah, it's not like footballers who turn and flip them over and try mess with the. We are instructed as rugby league players. You know, we're taking the shoulder barge out because of the contact concussions like Robbo's had. So for us, we've been educated that if somebody's knocked out, don't touch them.
Yep.
So it looks worse because he's knocked out and he knows he's knocked out and he thinks he is and he still picks him up, but then let's go.
Yeah.
The problem is, the reason why it's such a big deal is because if he had a bad something done to his neck and he did that, that could have broke his neck.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the problem. So it's got about being politically correct and educating people. We know as rugby players that we're in that zone and we played the game and we've been there. It happens. We're not as harsh on it, but for the public and people who haven't played before, no, it's not right.
No, you're right. And I do want to come back and explore that action. But what I was really pointing at was the vehicle to be able to cut away those psychological layers that we were first obviously originally discussing. Now, I'm just looking at the time. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we might come back and explore those aspects once again. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show. We're giving away our family pass up at the Providence Stadium, Odsall, this weekend. This Sunday, they take on Hulk Air League leaders at this point in time. So you've got the bottom of the barrel playing the top, right at the top. But the last time the two teams met, it went all the way to the final minute of the game. So massive game for a lucky supporter to win a family pass. All you need to do is leave your details at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show and we'll pick someone at random on Friday afternoon. Okay, so what were we talking about? We were talking about the Acton thing, weren't we? So so I'm bringing you in here, Aaron. What's the sort of general consensus that's going around with the media, social media, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Is he being vilified at the moment?
Well, I mean, it's been suspended for a week, hasn't it? They've put it back to next week, and I know Lee are trying to get the case together and things like that, but I think that's probably a good idea because, like Leon said, it sort of snowballed over the last 48 hours,
hasn't
it?
Is that a good thing? Because then it's got another week for that snowball to get bigger and bigger.
I think it'll die down. I've certainly seen it on my social media the last 24 hours. It's all started to calm down a little bit. I think you can take out of the hostility and the sort of freshness of it. It'll be a week old. You can look at it rationally a little bit more. I still think he'll get banned because you can't do that.
No.
You know, but I think it's probably the right call to take a step back from it and maybe suspend it for it. Make sure everything's right because he got a grade F, didn't he? So that is 8-game minimum. So this is his season probably over, Acton. So they've got to make sure they get it right. I think they did it with Justin Carney as well, when Justin Carney was up on a grade F and he got the long ban for what happened against Toronto. I think they've done the right thing, stripping it for a week.
And Acton, Lee Centurions, at the bottom of the Super League at this point in time, they're on 10 points, losing a player. You know, one of their starting players is probably not the best thing for a team currently travelling at the bottom of the Super League.
Yeah, well, they already know they're in the qualifiers, the middle eight, don't they? They're already confirmed along with pretty much Widnes. So gives them a bit of time, I guess, to sort of see if they can do a bit of business. I mean, they've done a little bit already, haven't they? I think a few clubs are starting to sharpen the tools a little bit for the qualifiers or for the top eight, everything like that. I mean, Huddersfield themselves have done some stuff lately, some good stuff. He's a loss though, but his disciplinary record's not great. You've got to say that. I think he's been up 5 times this year already in front of the beat, 10 times in 2 years, I think, as well.
And that's going to layer. That's going to be.
Well, they take it into consideration
as
well. So, yeah, I'd probably be booking a holiday if I were him.
Well, actually, they could have done you a favour, couldn't they, Robbo? You guys just sitting inside the top eight, sitting on 17 points. Catalan biting at your heels. If Lee Centurions had won that game, they would have given you a little bit of breathing space going into the final few games of the season.
Yeah, a bit of a killer for us, really. I know, look, the way Rick talks about it, you've just got to concentrate on your own games. If we win our own games, our destiny's in our own hands. Mm-hmm. If we win our games, then it doesn't matter what anyone else does. But it would have been nice to have a little bit of leeway. Going back to Acton, I think it makes it even more important because it's Western, isn't it?
Yeah.
The other prop who's had to retire
went
from Lee
on Saturday, yeah.
So with him retiring as well, now you lose Acton, you lose pretty much your two starting props, which in any team in rugby league, when you lose your two starters, that makes a big difference.
Now that makes it really nervous to come to the Super 8s? If you remember, Lee Centurions in 2016, they were flying. They were
the hunters, weren't they? Now they're the prey. They're the ones that people are going for.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's about confidence when you hit the Super 8 competition. Now there's a lot of rumor going on about the restructuring for 2018. Let's put that aside. Let's focus on the system as it is right now. Confidence is everything going into this competition. We had Robbo was on the show last year as a coach, acting, and to be honest, he was in bits and pieces. You should have seen him, Aaron. How do you think with having both your starting front rowers sort of potentially going to be out for those games? Where their heads going to be at?
Pressure, isn't it? It's how you deal with pressure. I mean, they're in a hall as well, as you say. I mean, it looks like Widnes are going to be in there with them, but I think Widnes have won three of the last five, so relatively speaking, they're a little bit healthier. But Lee just look like they're struggling for a win at the minute, conceding a lot of points. And you write about these qualifiers when it's all on the line. I'll never forget speaking to Danny Brough last year after you Huddersfield won at Hull KR, and Danny Brough just looked like he'd seen a ghost. He was so drained, and he just said, "This has been the worst 7 week of my life."
I'm telling you, Leon, do you remember the change in him, in Robbo, from the week before the whole KR game, and then the week after when they won?
Yeah, I felt
they're different people, weren't they?
I felt quite sorry for him, really. When I look at him, I felt like I could maybe. I nearly shed a tear myself.
Do you know what the difference for me is? I was in Leon's shoes last year, and it was a little bit of a culture shock for me. Being on the other side of it, and it was the first time ever in my life that my own family's future and destiny I couldn't control. And what made it even worse is I wasn't even really a coach yet. They just threw me in and went, just to start doing 19s. So I wasn't even helping out with first team.
So you didn't feel like you were a part of that.
No, it just felt
system,
like
no security was there.
It'd be literally like going to, I don't know, Joe, my mate, I don't know, Dave Coppin, just saying to you, right, going to decide whether your job's online, your mortgage online, on this game that's on TV. And you're stood at the sideline going, I have no impact on this. At least now that I'm part of the coaching staff, I can influence it a little bit more. And I can have my two penneth on decisions and sides that are picked and the way we play. At the time, I'll just play seriously retired with my hip up, just thinking, could lose me house here on this game.
Which is the reality of the system that we're playing at the moment. In no other line of work would you go and find out if you've not got a job in October and then supposed to have a contract sorted by November. Yeah, well, how does that work?
It just doesn't
work. And then we're talking about mental health and helping people. There's people like Kevin Leroy here who signed a new deal. They got dropped down. Yeah, he knows the consequences, but he wasn't accepting it. Bought a house with his wife. Gets relegated in October, gets no contract, can't find a club until the midway through his season. He had five months at home, sat and looking at a wall. It's not good. It's not. The system is not good.
So what's the solution?
I think you've got to have promotion and relegation on some level, haven't you? I mean, it's sport.
Promotion and relegation gives us jeopardy, which creates a game within the game. Because every game is jeopardy because you don't know the outcome. Yeah. Every play is jeopardy because you don't know what's going to happen on it. Then it gives the competition so teams can go up and down. The only way of getting around that is going back to the licensing system, isn't it?
Yeah, I think my opinion is this. There should be a contract that is put in. If you do get relegated, then you've got either a guaranteed minimum wage or something in structure, so you are guaranteed something.
Because like a parachute, something.
Because you've got to remember these guys. Why should people have the right to be able to say, drop down, your contract's completely void? It's not worth nothing. If we're talking about mental health and what's better for the players, and this is the problem why we need a players' association. This is the reason why we need somebody on the RFL representing the players, because we don't get a choice in this. If we drop down, we need somebody as some reassurance that we're going to get paid. Because at the end of the day, it's the difference between getting paid 80 grand a year and 25 grand a year. And that's a lot of money to make up.
It's a lot of difference, isn't it?
Massive difference.
Being that you're retired now and you're, you know, the options are available, are you putting yourself forward to run and drive a Players Association?
Yeah, I'm currently speaking with Alex Simmons and Gareth Carvel on this. It's something I'm really passionate about. I think that rugby league's players suffer because we have nobody to speak up.
I mean, there is... oh, God, who is it now?
League 13 you're talking about?
No, not League 13.
The GMB.
GMB.
Jeff Burrows.
Who offer a solution. No, maybe not a solution. Offer a level of support. And a majority of that comes through is sort of like financial legal muscle if you get into it. But there's actually what you're saying is that there is a represented body that plays an equal part, like in the Super League meetings, right, et cetera.
Right, listen, it's salary cap, rules in the game, minimum wage.
Changes in seasons in the game from winter to summer.
Yeah, playing games over Easter. These are the things that we should at least have some input on. We don't. We've got no representative. No one's even bothered about it either. Let's look at NRL. Something we're going on with that. I don't know if it was State of Origin Pay or something we're going on that said we're not going to Dalian Awards.
Yeah.
But because it's that big over there, they were like, oh my God, without the players.
There's no Dalian Awards.
There's no Dalian Awards. Right, we've got to sort it. Sorted.
Jonathan Thurston led that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he forced the governing body there to recognise the Players Association and actually guarantee a level of money coming from the TV deal. So I think they get like $2 million and 60% of that gets invested directly into player welfare development, post-career welfare. What are your thoughts on that, Aaron?
You've got to have some sort of player representation. The guys.
Do you personally think that it's embarrassing to the sport of rugby league that they don't have a recognisable independent players association?
Massively. Like rugby union, I saw, I think 6 weeks ago, the players union overwhelmingly rejected plans to make the season longer in rugby union. And you look at what we've got now with 30, 35 game season, and you're thinking, the players need a voice. They're the guys who are backing up twice in 4 days for double Easters and everything like that. I just think they have to have a voice somehow.
I jumped on a little bit with the original League 13, and obviously that didn't go to plan. But what I found is, within rugby league, is the older players that I tried speaking to thought, it's not really for me because my career's ending. The younger players didn't say anything because they were a bit like, I'm just happy I've got a job. And it were left to the middle.
Play rugby.
It literally was. And what you found is it were only the middle ones, the middle players, that really sort of wanted to get involved. But the problem with that is unless you come together as a unit, as a whole, nothing is ever going to change.
All right. Okay. So I think that's something that we're going to come back and pull on those sort of strings time and time again, because it is an interesting talking point, and we are a sport without a representative body that represent the actual players themselves. Okay. We're going to go to a break. We'll be back for the final segment. We'll be looking at the upcoming games for the Super League and the Championship this weekend. So stay with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. We're giving away a family pass to the Providence Stadium. Also, this Sunday's game against Hull KR, the Bulls take on league leaders. Massive game for both clubs, or a massive game for the Bulls anyway. They need to desperately get beyond the zero that they're on right now. Big psychological advance for them. You never know, because Hull KR have now solidified their position. They may be taking the foot off to get. That'd be an interesting aspect to say, eh?
Well, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? It'd be good for Bulls fans. I mean, I went to a Bulls Halifax game last week, and I never ever leave games early. Never. I always watch, no matter where it is, I watch till the end. I always have done. But I took three kids with me, and they were getting a little bit restless. So I said, kids, do you want to go? Game were over. They were 20 points to six with 9 minutes to go, 8 minutes to go. Thought, come on, let's get out of here before traffic gets bad, because the kids wanted to go.
Yeah.
Got home, looked at my phone, it was 20 points to 18, and they nearly scored it last minute.
It sounds low.
Oh, devastated.
It?
I was like, oh, no, we've missed best part of the game. Never listen to your kids again.
It's an 80-minute game, isn't it?
I know that. But
and that's the jeopardy. I mean, we talked about, I was covering the £1 million game last year, and I was like, oh, well, this is done and dusted 4 minutes ago. I'm going to get on the motorway, try and beat this traffic out of here. No.
Even Huddersfield's game, I think you were winning by about 14, 16 points in the first half against Hull KR.
Yes.
That game, Ryan Brearley were on fire. And then just carnage. That yeah, 7 days in Hull where they nearly beat Huddersfield and then they somehow lost £1 million game.
Somehow lost the £1 million.
I never forget that. But that's good. I think I know it. The knock-on effect for players is bad, but from a media perspective, it's brilliant.
That's why I couldn't imagine the RFL getting rid of the £1 million game.
Well, what?
Just because of the media coverage that it gives them.
Mm. I like the £1 million game. I like the up and down relegation. I've been brought up on the football, watching football. We all have. You know, it's relegation and promotion.
But you're also brought up on a relegation promotion rugby league as
well.
Yeah,
yeah. I agree with it. I just think, for the players, speaking as an ex-player now, there should be some protection for the players.
I also think the season shouldn't run.
Who?
I think if there's just a straight promotion relegation, the way around it is, how you said before, is one season should finish before the other, so it gives you time to recruit and establish players.
Who should then, like your suggestion was to give them a little bit of a net safety net payment, what do you call it, a parachute payment, if a player goes, who should pay that?
You'd think the RFL.
Don't they make loads of money at you? Isn't their profit like massive?
Yeah.
You better tell me.
No, they don't. Their profits are not massive. And if they were, every club would be stood there going, can I have some more money? Because it's all distributed between all clubs. So, I think at the end of every year, there might be something like £100,000 to £200,000 in profit.
Is that all? I didn't know that.
Split up between every club.
Well, maybe the restructure the payments, how we get paid off Sky, the central funding, whatever they give the clubs, just restructure in a way that can help them to structure that within the contract.
Okay, I mean, it's just when you, it may be at just 25, you say 25 grand, but for one player, 25 grand might be their full time contract. For another player, that's, you know, it's a fifth. It's not hard to come.
But at the end of the day, 25 grand's better than nothing. There's structures and ways and means about getting the deal right for a player, maybe somebody who's played 150 games, who's an international, compared to somebody who's played 10 games and is 18 and up and rising. There's ways of structuring it, there's ways and means of doing it.
There is ways and means, but you've got to have the money to do it. And there's an argument to say that the TV deals weren't the greatest, weren't the strongest in the last
round. Why aren't they the strongest? Why aren't the strongest deals? Why not?
Because they weren't, for obvious reasons, they weren't negotiated strongly.
Okay, well, there you go.
So, but we're in those deals right now, so you can only work with the resources that you've got. You can't, I mean, you'd have to take a brand new format back to the...
I agree with you. You like to talk the business because you like the business. I'm going to come straight from a player's point of view. We have produced one of the best sports to watch on television live in any sports, regardless of football, for the last 20, 30 years. And the pay structure and the way that we get paid by Sky or what have you is not matched the way that the game's evolved. Is not evolved. Like we were professional before Union. They're streets ahead of us now. They've got a players' union. We aren't. There's things that go on within rugby league that we know sat here that we should be far further forward than what we are. So sorting out a payment deal from Sky that matches the quality and reflects what entertainment we give Sky and viewers, that's something I think is missing.
So it's missing. So are we suggesting it's failed, Aaron? What are your thoughts on that? The last TV deals, I know some clubs, if you remember, there was the big giant walkout. We don't think the deal's good enough.
Yeah.
Clubs were actually putting their hands up and stating that.
The question I would want to know is, did they search out all the options or did they just take the first one that was presented to them? You know, did they go out to other companies or to other channels and say, well, here's what we can offer you?
As I understand, they did. Those options were taken. But I think, if we can remember, I think around about that time is when BT Sport came into the fold.
If we had our time again now.
Yeah, I think at that time, though, BT Sport had heavily invested in both rugby. Yeah. We still had something like 5 years to run, or three or four years to run on our...
We signed an eight-year deal, didn't we, with these TV rights?
Yeah, no, these brand-new TV rights. Yeah. But we still had 3 or 4 years to run on the old TV rights, on the old system. So we had to create a brand-new format, which is where the Super 8s and promotion and relegation came along to take it back to market.
Yeah, but if you look at the NRL now, their salary cap rises every year, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we need to look at. When the players signing contracts, it's on the assumption that, well, knowing that the salary cap is rising every year, and it's something that we need to look at. Our salary cap needs to be rising every year, and the way...
Is our product good enough, though? The reason why I'm asking this question is because the Burgess boys all play down under. James Graham, he plays down under. A lot of our talent is going. So is our product good enough to demand that income?
No, it's not at the moment. I don't think it is good enough. I agree with you there. But I'm going to give you
I think
at the moment, the product of Super League was not as good as it was 10 years ago, 8 years ago. In my opinion, it's far, far, far from it. But I'm going to give you this. Rugby league is the only sport, really, that I know that your wages have not inflated. Like, you've got players like Andy Farrell, Martin Fire, whoever was good at them days, earning more money then in 1998 or 94, 92 than players earn now.
No,
this is 2017.
Yeah, but there's a reason for that. And that was because of the Super League wars, the NRL.
I know, but it's the only whichever jobs don't inflate. Nothing stays the same, does it?
No.
Inflation, the price of bread, the price of petrol. Everything rises, but a Super League, a player, if you play rugby league, contracts the same.
Yeah, I do find that amazing. Over the last decade, the highest wage earners.
I've talked enough tonight.
That's you know, when you get on the microphone, Leon just drops
dropped
the mic.
It.
I've not been here for a couple of weeks, so I feel like I need to get a bit off my chest. I'm sorry, guys.
I spoke about this before. JP challenged Wood. He challenged him. I don't know if you were there, Leon, to be fair. 2011, I think it was, 10, with the England side. And he just said exactly what Leon said. He said, how's my wage? And look, I'm not saying that rugby league players don't make
Nigel
a good wage.
Then what Nigel did, he took his arm around JP and went, look, calm down and I'll give you a job.
That worked out quite well, didn't it? For what they do as well, for the amount of pain and the amount of damage they put themselves through, I mean, you've got three retired guys sat in here who've been through the wars. He's right. How are the wages inflating? How are footballers' wages inflating? Cricketers' wages are inflating.
Look at what I'm wearing. Look at what I'm wearing here.
What is that?
Hey, it's like a bra. But it keeps my spine straight. So because I get headaches.
There you go.
It is nuts. And you know what it is? I understand that we're a very privileged job. And, you know, a lot of players, they earn above the average wage. We're not. I'm not comparing it to I'm comparing it to other sports.
Yeah, but that's the problem, Robbo. We always say, oh, we know, we're very privileged. No, we should be paid more. Simple. The players, that's our problem. We always try to be really moderate. Yeah, try to play everything
it's
down.
It's a very northern thing,
The fact of the matter is, you do a tough job, Robbo. You've had your face smashed in for the last 15 years. You're 32, and you've got a plastic hip in or a metal hip in. Yeah, you've had a hip operation. You're going to need that change in 20 years.
How old are you?
That should reflect
32.
In your pay.
Oh, my gosh. You're 32, and you've got an old man's hip as well.
I've got a metal.
Leon, you know what? Leon's got a point there, hasn't he?
I can't even kick a ball around with my kids in garden. I'm not crying a sob story, but I can't kick the ball in my garden.
You said it before.
I want more money. Paul, stop paying me.
It's too late now. It's too late. All right, my game of the round, which was it now? Wakefield Trinity, no, it wasn't. It was Leeds and Salford. Leeds and Salford. Sunday.
Oh, Sunday, yeah.
It's got to be. Game of the round.
Yeah.
What's the outcomes? Quickly, outcomes.
Leeds.
Leon, Leeds and Salford.
Salford,
yeah. I'm going with Salford as well. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us on show. Boys, awesome to have everyone back in the show again. We love you.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6.